This podcast is sponsored by JList.com. On JList.com, from now until the end of the holiday season, you can get $10 off any purchase of $50 or more by using the promo code WELOVEAAA2015. You can get more bang for your buck this holiday season with all your holiday shopping and gift purchases by getting $10 off any purchase of $50 or more by using the promo code WELOVEAAA2015. Happy holidays!
The Divine Comedy, Dante's Inferno. There's a lot of symbolism in this story. It's about him going through the nine circles of hell to get to paradise.
Are there going
to
be succubus?
I don't recall there being succubus.
I'm out.
Minasan, konbanwa. Anime Addicts Anonymous no live broadcast o kiite itadakimasu. You are listening to the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. Make your anime addiction worse at aaapodcast.com. And now, here are your anime addicts.
Welcome to the 299th episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. Wherever you're listening to us from, thank you for making us a part of your day. We are always pleased to have you here listening to us. I am your host, Mitsugi, and with me I have the staple co-hosts of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast, Kazuo.
Yo, what's up, everybody?
And Chiaki.
Hey, everyone.
So you can find us at our website, www.aaapodcast.com, iTunes. We are also on Facebook. We are on Twitter. You can tweet us at aaapodcast, and we got another slew of Twitter handles here. We got at aaakazuo, and we have at Elise Kova.
That's me.
Come check us out on across all those different addresses, and of course, we're live every Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on ustream.tv. Until YouTube lets us back on their service.
Which should be soon.
Which, whenever the heck that happens.
Who knows?
So. Well, we also have a Patreon account. If you would like to support us on Patreon, you can get all kinds of great rewards, including our access to our after parties, which we record after our regular podcast episodes. And the after parties, sometimes I feel like they're better than the regular podcast episodes.
Oh, yeah. They're fun. We just talk off the cuff about whatever we want. It's good times.
Shoot the shit. So, we also have our copies of unedited podcast episodes. You can get our regular episodes 2 days earlier than everybody else. And we have ringtones and panels recorded and all kinds of stuff. So come check us out at patreon.com/AAApodcast. So how are you guys doing today?
I am doing exceptionally. How are you?
Wow, you're exceptional?
Yeah.
So why is that?
I don't know.
You just feeling good today? You have a good feeling?
I'm feeling good. I feel good about this episode.
Me too. I have a good feeling. How are you, Kazuo?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. We just recorded another hentai episode, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we did.
Talked about some interesting stuff on that.
Oh, yes.
We're going to record another Dragon Ball Super update.
Yes.
We're
going to be doing a Dragon Ball Super episode recap of episodes 15 through 17 directly after this podcast episode.
Yeah.
So for those of you that are watching live, don't go anywhere. We're going to be doing that right afterwards. Today we have a jam-packed show for you as we usually do. We are going to be this is the first episode that we're going to be doing where the topic was determined by one of our Patreon supporters.
Ooh.
So we do have a tier on Patreon where you can basically select the podcast topic and create the talking points, and then you get a t-shirt and some other stuff. So the topic was devised by Shizuo, one of our lovely Patreon supporters, so thank you so much.
Thanks, Shizuo.
The topic is our animes that we'd like to see out of various mythos, legends, and supernatural occurrences.
So we're going to kind of pitch anime of our own, like, ideas of things that, like, have come from, as you said, mythos, like any kind of, like, ancient tales, basically.
The actual quote of the request was, "The topic I would like you guys to take on is what myths, legends, or supernatural would you like to see an anime about or based on? What historical events, people, or phenomenons would you like to see an anime about?"
This is awesome. I really like this topic, and yeah. I think we all have some pretty badass ideas for shows.
Yeah, I'm really excited about mine, and I think they're better than your guys.
That is false. Mine cannot be beat.
Oh, okay, well, we're going to find out.
I just think mine are pretty good.
We're also... Oh, gee, way to suck
mine are okay.
way to suck the competition right out of it. We're also going to be doing impressions on some fall 2015 anime, including the new Utawari Rumono anime, Gakusen Toshi Asterix, Comet Lucifer, and Subete ga F ni naru, The Perfect Insider. So... stay tuned for all that. We're going to be getting to that, you know, over the course of the next 2 hours.
God, such a good episode.
Yeah, it's going to be good. So the trivia this week was pretty easy. The answer, the theme we're working off of is anime drunkards. So it's all like characters that are drunk or whatever in their photos.
Anime drunkards, is that like me on a Saturday night sitting at home getting drunk watching anime?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or playing Destiny is what you're doing.
That's what I was doing last night.
Yeah. I saw you on Twitch. So the correct answer this week was Gintoki Sakata from Gintama, and the correct answers came from Burning Wolf, Nelly 1876, Icy Rose, Ayame Tan, James the Reviewer, Astrophysics, Guy Vercuno, Shakespeare, Manly Mudkip, Kurodo Mind, Karma Assassin, Heavy Metal Leo, BCOM 33, Fish Food, Chibi Rob, and Level 69 Arcanine. Winner for the week, Fish Food. So congratulations, sir or madam. You are entered into a drawing for fantastic prizes from JList.com.
Visit JList.com for all of your anime shopping needs.
Yeah, thank you, Cosmo.
That was good. That was impressive.
JList.com, which just had a website upgrade, big time new website launched for JList, and we're going to be having Peter Payne we're going to have another interview with him very soon.
Is that his real name?
That is his name.
That is an amazing Peter
Payne,
name.
The man, the legend, Peter Payne.
My name is Peter Payne.
Peter Payne.
Sergeant I had a friend whose last name was Payne, and his dad was a doctor. He was actually a surgeon. And so, like,
Dr. Payne?
It was Dr. Payne.
Oh, that's amazing.
Like, in the hospital, it would be like, paging Dr. Payne.
No one wants him.
Paging
to do
Dr.
Their
Payne.
Well, I think I've told this story before, but when I had my wisdom teeth taken out, my doctor's name was Dr. High. H-I-G-H.
That's awesome.
Because, and let me put it this way, he had two Valium brought to the waiting room for me. I wasn't even nervous.
What a good doctor.
I wasn't even nervous, and he was like, "Here you go, get high."
Did he say that?
No, but he might as well. He might as well have.
That would be
so
awesome.
Okay, so the in-show trivia question. For those of you that want to participate in the trivia but keep forgetting, you can do it now at home with our in-show trivia. So the question is, which star Dragon Ball belonged to Goku's grandpa, Grandpa Gohan?
Ooh, I know this one.
That's if you're a Dragon Ball aficionado. That is an easy question, and if not, there are 7 Dragon Balls, so you can guess. You have a 1 in 7 chance of getting that one right. But I think you do. I think you know the answer, right, Cosmo?
Oh, absolutely. I'm not going to spoil it, though.
So there's something I want to take a minute about and talk about before we hit our mailbags. So I was going to put this into the good, the bad, and the moe, but I thought we might as well just talk about it
okay.
in full. So maybe for 5 minutes or so, the Shibuya Ward in Tokyo.
Shibuya.
Because Tokyo is actually made up of a bunch of little cities that are broken into wards.
Right. It's like it's kind of like New York.
Yeah.
Except you have like the 5 boroughs.
Except Tokyo's got like 20 of them, because you know it's just bigger. But Shibuya Ward issued Japan's first same-sex partnership certificate.
Yay!
Oh wow! All right. Cool.
So the certificate, quote unquote, this is coming from Japan Today. The certificates are not legally binding and carry only symbolic significance.
Oh.
Since the Japanese Constitution identifies marriage as a union based on mutual consent of the parties, both sexes, but the official recognition of the same-sex unions is aimed at encouraging hospitals and landlords to accept the certificate to try to ensure couples receive similar treatment to people who are legally married.
So it's a.
Okay, so it's not just symbolic.
It's a step in the right direction. Yeah, we're not quite there yet.
We're moving in the right direction.
I do wonder, like, who initially wrote the law to read that, you know, marriage is a union between opposite sex people. It's like, why initially would they include that?
Well, it's probably one of those things, like kind of like the prostitution laws in Japan, where mm-hmm. it's like the way the kanji is written,
right?
Like two people, and like the two people kanji has maybe man the kanji for man and woman, kind of like how I brought up the prostitution thing, because it's like that whole men can't be prostitutes right. technically in Japan, because the way they write a prostitute is with a female kanji.
Well, I'll show them.
And so, well, no, I mean, you just wouldn't count. You don't count as a prostitute.
Oh.
And so it's kind of like that weird.
I don't count as a prostitute.
Not in Japan.
From your mouth to God's ears.
Well, you were saying you'd go show them. I just wanted to. You know.
You heard it here first, everyone. I don't count as a prostitute.
So I thought it was really great. You know, we've talked at length. People keep asking about, you know, homosexuality in Japan and all this. And, you know, Japan is at least recognizing that there are couples of the same sex. And right. I guess maybe for people like Claire's old host sister, who wanted to know why all the gay people were in America. Now you know there are actually gay people in Japan. So they are there.
Yeah.
The government has recognized it.
They're just hiding, I guess. Cause,
well, actually, yeah, that's what they're doing, because Japan is not very accepting of that yet.
Yeah. Well.
But we're making steps now. This is proof. We're
some
making
kind some of progress,
steps.
At least. Yeah.
So, way to go, Japan. I applaud you for at least taking a baby step.
Time for an almighty anime mailbag. Anime. Anime. Anime.
Mailbag.
Oh, yeah.
There it is.
There it is.
There it is. Your coochie goose.
I had to say it.
So if you want to submit a mailbag, you can do it at our website, www.aaapodcast.com. There's a mailbag button, and then from there it should be self-explanatory. So we're doing our best to keep up with them. We're always behind, but we try to answer everything. So, yeah, so fire away. First mailbag. Who wants to read this first one?
I'll read it.
Bring it on.
So this mailbag comes from The Creepster. And The Creepster writes, what are your top three male and female characters in anime that you would love to see get hit in the face, sprayed with mace, hit with a mace, then get the Judas Cradle be used on them until they die, then use the Dragon Balls to revive them every time they die so you can use multiple methods? So I for sure don't have anyone in anime that I hate that much. And
yeah.
I'd rather talk about the Creepster here for a second. I feel like you might have some anger issues.
Yeah, you
that
could.
We need to discuss.
Yeah, you're a creep.
I don't know if you know this, but anime characters are fictional creatures that don't actually exist.
No.
What?
And they can't hurt you. So it's okay. Let it go.
Oh my god.
You know, that's just, like, one of my favorite drops ever.
Oh, my God.
Hopefully there'll be more drops. I know Joseph Joestar is in the next JoJo also, so maybe
awesome.
We'll have more awesome English language drops. I put the same thing here. I don't know that I can produce six of these types of characters, but I really hate the following.
Okay.
I hate Saya from Blood Sea. She's insufferable. But I don't know that I would be...
Specifically in Blood Sea, though.
Yeah, specifically. Yeah. And I don't know that I would lower her down onto a Judas cradle. That's a little intense.
Jeez, yeah, that's harsh.
And for those of you that don't know what that is, you can Google it on your own time, because that would be not safe for work. Also, I hate every single character from the anime Sendan Kagura, because that's that show where all they do is like fight over scrolls or whatever that make their breasts bigger.
What? I do not know this show.
It's an ecchi bullshit show.
Oh, okay.
And I hate Sasuke from Naruto. He's terrible.
Yeah, he's all right.
He's terrible. Especially in the original Naruto, because he's just a whining, brooding bitch.
Yeah, I guess. He has his moments. There's in the part where he finally faces off against his brother and they have their final battle. That's you get to like him at that point. At least I feel.
Maybe you did.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anyone I really hate that much. The only thing I would say I hate that much are a lot of the tropes that we see in anime. So not a specific character, but all of the characters that fall into those tropes.
And the characters that aren't anything more than those tropes.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah. Those I would kill without regard, for sure.
Well, they're not really characters anyway. They're just tropes.
Exactly.
See, a character is Muta from Space Brothers.
Yeah.
He is his own character. There's no other character like Muta. But if you're just going to be like this, you know, one of these characters that they mass produce with like a random Dede cookie cutter that like, you know during Christmas time when, which I think, you know, I think during Christmas we should make Christmas cookies this year on the podcast.
Okay.
All right.
I'm down.
I like cookies.
We should literally, and we should have, so like,
oh my God, can we get one of those tiny Easy Bake ovens and do it in here?
Oh my God.
No, I think we should use my real oven so we actually get decent cookies.
Oh, okay.
So, you know
so
how when you're making Christmas
salmonella poisoning or whatever?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I've been eating raw eggs for the last 2 years just straight every morning, so I know you're not going to get sick from that, but you know how you reach into the basket of cookie cutters and you have like the Christmas tree,
sure,
the star, the Santa Claus, the snowman, all that? Well, somewhere in Japan, there's like a basket of Dede character cookie cutters, and they're like, oh, here's this new Dede. Krazo, could you please pass me the Dede Dede? I need to make a couple of these here. Pass it over.
Oh, sure. Here you go. No problem.
Oh, thanks very much. Yeah. I need to make 5 of these for the upcoming anime season.
We'll just throw a couple of those in there.
Well, they all look the same, and they're all the same, but that's okay. We'll just, yeah. Nobody will notice.
Yeah, Captain Avatar in the chat did also mention the, I guess the main character from, oh crap, where was it? Aldno's era? Where did he say it? Oh, I lost him. Oh well. Sorry, Captain Avatar. I tried. But the chat is going too quick.
Okay, so the next mailbag is actually written by a Dede character, Yarn Dede. Hello, addicts. I love reading manga, but I hate having to do it scanlation sites as I want to support the industry. As much as possible. However, there are issues with obtaining manga legally. Many series have not yet been or are severely slow to be translated, and I cannot afford to pay hundreds of dollars on a multi-volume series at $9 a volume. With the increase in simulcasting for anime, I was hoping that the same increase in accessibility would happen for manga, but that does not seem to be the case. Why does the licensing and distribution process for manga seem to be much slower than that for anime? Do you think that the accessibility of manga will ever reach the level of anime or simulcasting?
No. No, I mean, that's just any... I mean, honestly, I don't know about saying this in front of an author, but, you know, written media, like literature and comic books and manga is not growing, I feel. I mean, sure, it may be growing because of the population itself growing, but ultimately, I feel like, you know, people nowadays are moving more towards video and audio entertainment. So I know comic books have been in a decline for years.
We got a burn coming in from the chat. So in other words, Mouth9900 says, so in other words, you want to support but don't want to spend money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's kind of that.
There's
kind of funny.
Yeah, I don't see, I mean, manga in the West growing any more than it is already. I mean, I know certain websites, I believe like Crunchyroll also has manga that you can read off of their website as well. So, I mean, there's that, but...
See, I think the biggest thing that's holding back manga right now, because I don't think written media is dying. In fact, I think it's a larger industry now than it ever has been, but not print written media.
Right.
So like,
sure.
And I think the thing with manga is I, for whatever reason, which continually shocks me because I don't know why this is the case, I feel like it hasn't made the leap to digital. And the reason why that shocks me is because, you know, they have a digital copy because they're running it on print.
Oh,
they're not like photocopying that. So they have a PDF or something somewhere digital. Half the mangaka, I wouldn't be shocked if they draw it all on tablets now and it's digital to start with rather than old school ink. And even if it was, again, they have to have a digital copy somewhere that they're running the printers from. So what shocks me is that it hasn't made, even in Japan, And I don't mean this like in the States. I mean, even in Japan, I feel like manga hasn't crossed that threshold into being a digitally consumed medium. And I have a couple theories, I would say, for that. One being that I feel like e-readers aren't that big in Japan yet. And two being manga is very cheap in Japan compared to the States because they don't have the licensing fees and stuff. So you can get a manga in Japan for like $2 to $4.
It's like
$4. Half the price. And so I feel like
the same as a comic book in the States,
right?
Generally, although they're now going up to like $5 in some cases, yeah, which is absurd.
But I mean, like print novels, the biggest thing that pushed digital sales of written media in the U.S. was when the whole indie publishing movement started, and all of a sudden you had print books for the usual $9 to $13, $14, or you could get an ebook for a third or less of that price. And so people started saying, well, I want the ebook instead. It's way cheaper.
Right.
And I feel like we haven't seen that shift happening with manga in Japan. And until that happens, until there's a catalyst to make that happen, I don't think we'll start seeing it here in the States becoming bigger.
Yeah. And another big issue is that, I mean, plain and simple, it doesn't make money. I mean, you look at comic books, you know, in the States or anywhere comic books are produced, comic books don't sell that well. Like some of the highest selling comic books will sell 30,000 copies an issue.
Yeah.
And that's not a lot. And so they don't make a whole lot of money off of it. And then you take into account, okay, so like the highest selling comic book is maybe like Justice League or something like that. And that's going to sell like 30 to maybe 50,000. And that's just off the top of my head. I don't know, have the exact numbers in front of me, but I've heard, you know, those before. So to think manga is a genre that's so much smaller than comic books. So in order to make a profit off of that, it's incredibly difficult to do, to bring it to the States and make a profit. In Japan, obviously, it's more widely read. It's in every single, you know, 7-Eleven you go into, there's a rack of manga.
But comic books, I feel the same way in the States. I know they're starting to become digital, but
which is a disaster because they're charging. It's the same thing with video games too. Like they're becoming available digitally, but they're charging the same amount digitally, yeah, as they are physically, which is causing people to not want to purchase them, and it's just a big disaster.
I don't want to jump in because, yes, I actually have tangible data here.
Oh, sweet.
So breaking down, so this is all data based on Viz Media, who does a lot of manga. 232 of the top 367 selling manga of 2012. We're by Viz Media, so okay, that's almost 70%, and manga were made up about half of the top 750 comic books. Okay, so
okay,
just to give you an idea of how horribly the manga industry is doing,
sure.
The in 2007, 6.3 million units of manga were sold by Viz Media for a total of $55 million.
So 6 million units across every manga they produce,
right,
throughout the entire year.
For the U.S. in 2007.
Wow.
$55 million. So 6.2 million then. 5 years later in 2012, that number dropped to 2.1 million. That's only about a third of what it was, what it had been in only 5 years, only producing 22.4 million, which is literally 40% of what it was just 5 years prior. The reason why none of these companies are simulcasting manga is because none of you are buying it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's dead. Manga is dead in the United States. It's gone. Like, literally, like this is the year-over-year growth for manga between 07 and 2012. Negative 11%, negative 13%, negative 26%, negative 36%.
Yeah.
Do you see the pattern?
It's not just going down. It's going down at a faster and faster rate.
So,
and not only that, but like we talked about like digital manga, it's so easy, and it's the same issue that music has had and movies are having, is that when the progression in technology, it's so easy to access these things illegally, basically.
Scanlation.
But I think with that, though, again, I think accessing it illegally is as a byproduct of not having easy access to it legally. Because
I don't know about that. It depends. I mean, it is in a lot of cases easier to access it illegally, but
I mean, because
people don't want to spend money on it. They're
not going
to.
If you look at music streaming,
yeah,
like the piracy numbers of some European countries when they introduced like mass music streaming, like mm-hmm. Pandora and Spotify and now Apple Music,
sure,
their piracy went down a bunch because it became easy.
Well, and it's also free
to get it. Well, and it depends. It depends if it's free or if it's paid, and they have paid versions.
But if you're going to be like, hey, you know, pay $5 for this comic book or this manga book, you know, or you could just click on this button and get it for free, people are going to get it for free.
But like, I would pay to have the ease to read it, because reading off those scanlation sites is not a good experience. Mm-hmm. Like, and I would pay to have it on my Kindle.
Right.
But
you would, but how many people wouldn't? how many people would rather just click the button over here and get it for free, or click the button here and give them $5?
I'd rather click the button. Honestly, they're not translating any manga anyway anymore because, I mean, like, there could be 100 anime that you want to read the manga for in a given year, and they're only going to translate like 3 of them. So you really honestly have no other option anyway.
I don't disagree with anything you guys are saying, but my point is that if it became more of a digital industry, I think we could see a resurgence in it. And that would have to start with the mangaka in Japan.
Okay.
Perhaps.
Do you guys want to move on?
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about this for a long time.
I got called negative in the chat for my comment, but I mean, it's just data.
Yeah, no, keep it real. That's the truth.
It's like, I didn't even pull up the 2015 data. God knows what's happened between 2012 and 2015. I mean, yeah, I don't even want to look. The other thing, and real quick, and I swear this is the last thing, to sell a physical manga, you have to have a physical bookstore.
True.
Like Barnes & Noble was pushing manga for a long time, and they're barely even existing anymore. So
I mean, with print on demand, not really.
But I don't know what that means.
I'm sorry.
Like with print on demand systems, you don't have to have a physical bookstore or inventory.
Yeah, but it was.
Oh, you mean like ordering it and having it shipped to you?
Yeah.
Yes, but it was Sam Goody, Sun. What was that? Suncoast Video.
Yeah.
Barnes & Noble. Those were the companies that were pushing the manga sales in the U.S. And now most of those don't exist anymore. Anyway, next mailbag.
Jackie, I think it's your turn.
Sure.
Suncoast. Thank you, Chibi Rob.
So the next mailbag comes from Ayane, and Ayane writes, I'm completely new to your show, and I love it. When I'm bored, I come to this website and watch your reviews. So I was wondering, what is your top 15 2015 summer anime, and why?
Boy, that one's late.
Oh, okay.
So we don't really have a top 15, but I can give you all the shows we passed from summer 15.
Okay.
So we passed the Senki Zessho Symphogear GX, Gate, which I don't even know if this is really about the top 15, but Gate, the what the Self-Defense Force did or whatever it's called, Gangsta, Aoharu X Kikanju, Gakko Gurashi, Nampo Kitan, Game of Laplace, which I'm told ended up shitting the bed, Ushio Totora, Charlotte, and then the last one was Shimo Neta To Iu Da Gainen Ga Sonzai Shinai Taikutsu Na Sekai.
Yeah, man, we haven't done any of those reviews, have we?
No.
We gotta get around to that.
We're gonna start doing them soon.
Yeah.
And I would also add that Ore Monogatari was part of the summer season. My love story. And
okay.
Was
that summer?
It was spring and summer.
Oh, okay.
And Shokugeki no Soma was also spring and summer. So those are probably...
Although, yeah, we didn't pass Shokugeki. Did we?
Or
did
it got passed from the listeners.
Ah, true, true.
And so those probably are considerable also. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
We got a couple more mailbags here.
Okay. Let's see. I'll read the next one here. Next one comes from Digimaster Hiro. And Hiro writes, First off, thank you for putting out such a great podcast on a regular basis. They really helped me on my long overnight shifts. Now for the main point. I've heard Mitsugi mention Higurashi no Nakakoro ni on the show. I was curious as to whether or not he had seen the Outbreak OVA, the live-action episodes, or read any of the original Kinetic novels, and if so, what he thought of them. I've loved the series ever since I saw the dub and have watched both seasons, the Rei, Kira, and Outbreak OVAs, and played 6 of the 8 games, and I'm interested in your opinions. Looking forward to hearing from you. P.S. After hearing Goku versus Superman episodes, I have watched all of Dragon Ball and up to episode 100 of Dragon Ball Z. It turned out much better than I thought. Cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
All right. So, Higurashi no Nakakoro ni.
The last thing I watched of Higurashi was Higurashi no Nakakoro ni Rei, the OVA series. And it was like a dumb afterthought OVA. So okay. I haven't seen anything else, but I mean, I don't know. Yeah, basically I haven't seen it. And I have seen the live action movie that came out in 2008, but I don't really remember it being very good.
Yeah, I was going to say, how was that? I haven't seen that.
I can't remember it all that well because that was 7 years ago, believe it or not. But I don't recall it being very... I recall it having a low budget and not being very interesting.
As most Japanese movies do.
So, yeah, sorry. I haven't seen your Outbreak OVA.
As far as Dragon Ball concerned, though, that's awesome. Yeah, I really didn't watch Dragon Ball until way after I had seen Dragon Ball Z. So I really enjoyed it, though. And actually, my first memory of anything anime-related, and I didn't know what it was at the time, but I remember seeing part of an episode of Dragon Ball with Oolong and Yamcha in the desert.
Yeah,
and I was like,
Yamcha.
I was like, what is this weird cartoonish-looking thing? And then I just never saw another anime for several years after that. This is when I was like a baby.
You know what Goku thinks of all that?
What's that? I was about to say the same thing.
Whoa! Wow.
Oh, God.
We moved right into something. My MacBook just did this on its own. How did this happen?
It's sentient. It knows.
Oh.
I'll dance to this one.
So ridiculous.
Alright, sorry. I did not intend that to happen. I lost control. Alright, I have now regained control of the podcast, and we now can continue.
You regained control from yourself.
Yeah, from myself. Okay, last mailbag, I think, is submitted by the Creepster again. Hey, I have two questions, although it is not anime-related. The first question is both for Mitsugi and Chiaki.
All right.
Do you guys play or have you played the Resident Evil series, Silent Hill series, Metal Gear Solid series? If you do slash did, which game installment do you like the most and least from each series? For example, you liked Resident Evil 1 remake and didn't like Resident Evil 2 and so on. So let's answer that one first.
Okay.
That's on you guys. He didn't ask me.
Aww.
So for me, it's yes, yes, and yes. I've played all of them. I've played most of the games from all three of those franchises, and I like Resident Evil 2 and 4 the best. And my least favorite Resident Evil is Nemesis. I did not like Resident Evil 3 very much. And I like Silent Hill 2 the best, and I like Metal Gear Solid 3 the best. And I think my least favorite Metal Gear Solid is probably... It's probably Metal Gear Solid 5, actually, the recent one. So far.
Really?
Yeah, I would say.
Interesting. I can't give my opinion.
Yeah, you weren't asked. So.
Yeah, he didn't ask me.
Oh no, that's so sad.
Chiaki?
Okay. Well, let's see. Probably my favorite Resident Evil game was Resident Evil 4. I really hope I'm not messing this up. It was Resident Evil 4 that had, what are you buying?
Yeah, what are you buying?
What are you selling?
What are you selling?
I'll buy it at a high price.
I'll buy it at a high price.
Okay, he did not sound like that.
No, he totally did.
So
totally did. I'll find him.
Resident Evil 4 is probably my...
What are you buying?
My favorite of that. I did enjoy Resident Evil 5. I don't know if I have a least favorite. I try to focus on what I like and not what I didn't. My favorite Silent Hill game is easily Silent Hill 2, because that game basically just made me want to piss my pants. It was so scary.
Wow. Literally, you peed yourself?
I said it made me want to. I didn't. I didn't actually do it, but it made me want to.
Sure.
And then probably my favorite Metal Gear Solid game was Metal Gear Solid 4, because that... Okay.
Guns of the Patriot.
Spoiler, but that scene at the end when they're fighting and Snake Eater is playing and it's just like, it's like the most epic moment in video games ever.
Got a selection of good things on sale, stranger.
You didn't believe me?
No, but your voice was like, not like this.
What are you buying?
There it is.
What are you buying?
An awesome choice, stranger. It's got a...
What are you selling?
What are you selling? Capability, although it uses up ammo rather quickly.
Oh boy, that at a high price.
All right. Well, you know, do you know that in that game, if you kill him, he does not come back?
That's what I've heard. I've never killed him.
I did it. I played through that game probably 5 times, and if you kill him in the first section of the game, he does not show up the entire rest of the game.
That's awesome.
Second question is for Chiaki. You have mentioned that you draw, but I don't know if you have mentioned what type of materials you use when you do. I just got into drawing a few months ago and are finding new and different types of materials to draw. Do you have any recommendations for people who have a foot in the door but are still at the doorway talking to the host?
I think it's one of those things where you can spend a ton of money on materials, but it's not going to make you a better artist. Mm. Like, what's going to make you a better artist is drawing regularly and really working on your craft. And then as you get more comfortable and confident and you graduate, like, all you need is a mechanical pencil. Just a mechanical
all
pencil.
All you need is love.
And a mechanical pencil.
And a mechanical pencil.
And a sheet of paper. I mean, or you could
and
do...
And a wall.
Actually, one time I was in high school and I was taking a standardized test and I finished early and I got really bored and I started drawing on the desk. And by the time that the test time was up, I had the entire desk was covered in like this big mural, and it was almost one of those like trance-like states where I was like, oh shit, I just drew all over this. And the teacher walked over and looked at it and he was like, I would get you in so much trouble if it wasn't pencil and it wasn't good. He's like, you're gonna go to the bathroom and get a wet paper towel and clean it up, and I'm gonna take a picture.
That's
so
funny.
So don't worry about like, oh, I have to get this or that. But to actually answer your question, I'll run down the list. I love drawing with Willow charcoal on BFK paper. I love drawing BFK paper as like a thicker, almost like cloth-like paper. Prismacolor makes my favorite colored pencils. Prismacolor pencils are amazing. For markers, pens, inking, stuff like that, I go Copic. And I specifically like the Copic brush pens. Just the way that I approach line art, I really like the way that those work. I don't really have a preference on watercolors other than I like using them now and then. And digitally, I started off way back before the Wacom Bamboo series, back when it was like graphite, I think was what it was called. If you want to get into having a tablet, the basic Wacom Bamboo tablet is a really great way to get into it, and you can get one for like $40. And then what I have upgraded myself to as a present to myself when I got my first job was I got a Wacom Cintiq 12WX, and that's one
fancy
of the
pants.
It is. I love it. It's one of the Wacoms that has the screen built into it, and so you draw right on the screen. There is another tablet maker that I heard of that's a competitor to Wacom that has significantly lower priced tablets. I've never used them. I've heard a bunch of good things about them, but I've never been brave enough. Wacom is just like that thing that it's like the industry standard, and I've used it my whole life. But I forget the name of the company, but there is another one out there that you can get like a Cintiq like tablet for within like the $100 to $200 range, not like the $1,000 range that Wacom is.
Okay, last mailbag. Yotodi Vegeta writes, I recently read that driving drunk on a bike is grounds for $1 million fine and up to 5 years in prison. Did you encounter this, or have you heard any strange laws in Japan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, biking, yes. Biking while drunk is still considered a DUI in Japan. And not just drunk, but with one drink in your system.
Yeah.
If you have any alcohol whatsoever and you operate any kind of wheeled vehicle, you can certainly get
one
into a lot of trouble.
One single drink, and I am drunk.
Especially if you're a foreigner. You can get in serious trouble, like kicked out of the country trouble.
Yeah. Well, and Japan, though. But on the flip side, Japan has a lot of things in place that make it easier. So, but it is real.
All right. I was going to go through a list of weird Japanese laws, but I ran out of time.
Okay.
The music has caught up with us.
But here's just one that I'll give you as we leave. If you die in a duel, the national insurance companies won't pay out to your next of kin.
If you die in a pool?
In a duel.
In a duel.
Oh, in a duel.
Duel.
Y'all move!
and on that note, we'll be back after the news break.
Hey all you anime addicts, this is Chiaki, and this is your anime news break. First up, I might have failed Heavy Object last week, but I know there are people out there who are loving it, and more power to you. If you're one such person and you like dubs, Funimation has recently announced the English dub cast for its broadcast dub of Heavy Object. The cast is under ADR director Christopher Benbens and ADR engineer Peter Hawkinson. The broadcast dub will be premiering on November 13th at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Funimation Entertainment will be streaming the series as it airs in Japan. In other news, since Hayao Miyazaki's retirement, it seems like a couple people have been coming out of the woodwork of Studio Ghibli to give us the untold story. One former Studio Ghibli animator, Hitomi Tateno, is promising a new book, Enpitsu Senki, Dare mo Shiranakatta Studio Ghibli. Its English title would be The Pencil Wars, the Studio Ghibli that nobody knew. It's scheduled for release on November 21st, and the studio's 25-year veteran promised to reveal everything from her own impressions on Miyazaki, Toshio Suzuki, and Isao Takahata to her experience as an image motion checker. Tateno was directly responsible for checking for the fluidity of movement from cell to cell. The book concludes with Tateno leaving and her life after Studio Ghibli. All I can hope is that this has some kind of English translation. Please take pity on us translation gods, because this is one book that I would love to read. And speaking of Studio Ghibli, one of the studio's last films to come out when Marnie was there has recently won the Children's Jury Prize in the Animated Feature Film category of the Chicago International Children's Film Festival. The award ceremony took place this past week during the festival's closing ceremonies. And finally, even if you've never been to Japan, you probably know that there are some awesome themed restaurants in the country. And oftentimes they team up with anime to bring anime themes. Well, one of the restaurants that's been around for a while and one that I've been to is a restaurant called The Lockup. It's a prison-themed kind of insane asylum-ish restaurant, and therefore it's perfectly fitting that The Lockup has teamed up with the live-action Prison School. The special Prison School menu will be available through December 20th for those of you who are in Japan. Even if you aren't in Japan and can't make it, you can find pictures online of the special collab with the live-action actresses from Prison School helping promote it. This was Chiaki, and this was your Anime News Break. Don't go anywhere, because we'll be back to the show soon. Hey, Mitsugi, did you order those trivia prizes off JList.com yet?
I've been meaning to do it at work when I'm not helping people make spreadsheets. But the problem is, JList.com has so many crazy, awesome adult goods that I'm afraid a nosy coworker might peek over my shoulder and get me in trouble.
That's no problem. JList.com has a totally safe-for-work, non-adult mirror website, JBox.com. It has all the same cool products as JList.com, without the naughtiness.
JBox.com? Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't I already know about that? Now I'm never going to get anything done at work.
Mitsugi, I think we all know you never did much at work anyway.
True. But anyway, for everyone looking for a more safe-for-work or kid-friendly alternative to your premier Japanese and anime merchandise store, JList.com, make sure to check out JBox.com. Again, that's JBox.com. When it comes to Pokemon, don't mess with Kazuo.
I was in sixth grade, and I had Pokemon on my Game Boy. I had a Game Boy Pocket, I think, at the time. I was in gym class, and we were in the locker room, and I'm getting changed. This kid runs by, grabs my Game Boy, and bolts. And so I never got it back. Kid stole my Game Boy with my Pokemon in it. So in sixth grade, one of my electives, I was a teacher's assistant. This kid had that teacher. So I basically allegedly went into the computer and wrecked all of his grades.
Yes.
And found his locker combination, because the teacher keeps a record of all that. Broke into his locker, stole all of his Pokemon cards, which he had a ton of, and took all of his textbooks and threw them away. I think he assumed it was me. We did end up getting into a fight later on.
And he beat his ass?
Yeah. I got into a lot of fights in school.
You beat that kid's ass, didn't
yeah,
you? Because you were used
definitely.
To fighting. Back to the show. And we're back to the 299th episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. It's good to be back.
299, and I'm feeling fine.
What?
Hi, everyone.
Okay, oh, yeah.
So the Moe has appeared. Okay, so let's do real quick where we're going to do a 5-star review. So which one of you lucky people wants to read the 5-star review?
I think Kazuo should read it.
And this is coming from iTunes. And by the way, you all should write us a 5-star review on iTunes because I would like to have 1,000 5-star reviews someday.
If you don't write a 5-star review, I'm going to need you to take a step back.
And listen.
No! Don't say it.
Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder.
If you don't write a 5-star review, I'm just going to talk in my Moe voice forever.
Oh,
God.
Please.
I would literally die.
Oh, please. Please write the review.
All right. For God's sake, I'll read it. Default262 says, thanks for the great show every week.
That's it. All right.
Okay.
You're welcome.
All right. So this podcast topic was given to us by Shizuo, one of our lovely Patreon supporters. And she has created the topic and also the loose guidelines by which we're going to have our discussion.
She, you say?
Yeah. I happen to know that Shizuo is a she.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yes, I happen to know that.
Oh, Eureka.
She's called into the show.
Eureka.
She's called into the show like 5 times.
I know, I'm just messing around.
All right, so the topic is, once again, what myths, legends, or supernatural would you like to see made into an anime or based on? Anime about or based on? She wants us to talk about why we're interested in the subject we chose, how you would like to see it done, your preferred styles, animation studios, animators, or directors, what kind of cast would you like to see, what kind of OST would it have, the theme, message, or ideals would we tackle, etc. So, I think I have come up with the best ideas.
Okay, you want to go first?
I would like to. In fact, I would love to.
I would love you to.
I'm going
to
start off with my last creation, my magical... See, and it's going to be awesome because during the course of this topic, you're going to realize that we're actually more suited to come up with anime ideas than the actual people that are making the anime. Because I'm pretty sure you'll agree. I'm confident you'll agree that our ideas are better than most of what you see coming out of anime these days. And the cat has jumped up on the table.
He already tried to kiss me in the mouth, and now he just... laid his butt down.
Okay.
Right on me.
I would like to make an anime about the boogeyman.
The boogeyman?
The boogeyman.
Ooh. Spooky.
So I think it would have to be a horror. I want it to be a horror show. I want it to be short length. I'm thinking 6 OVAs, 11 to 13 episodes max. And we all know the story of the boogeyman, right? Pretty generally speaking.
I guess.
I'd like to see this applied and have the anime run through the eyes of a child.
Okay.
You know how when you're a child, picture yourself as an 8-year-old child. You're lying in bed by yourself at night. It's dark.
Oh, yeah.
And you're imagining that every single little shadow on the wall is a monster.
Oh, dude.
There's stuff under your bed. There's stuff in your closet. There's stuff coming out of the windows and stuff. Think about the terror you could illustrate if you take the concept of the boogeyman and apply it through a child's eyes.
Right.
And create a series of short arcs where you see and experience the horror of the things in your bedroom from a child's perspective.
But, like, in reality, it's just a normal bedroom.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But the idea is to capture the
imagination.
The torment of one's imagination. Exactly.
Right.
So, for example, night terrors...
I'm sorry, Godius Maximus in the chat. So Mitsugi wants to insert himself into a child.
Yeah, he also said that my head is getting very big. But I'm sorry, the idea of doing an anime that I'm describing to you is I'm sorry, they just don't do good horror anime. I just gave you one.
No, definitely not.
So you could, night terrors would be a good example of things that children experience. The stuff under the bed, in the closet. I'm afraid of the dark. I'm afraid of the shadows. I think it needs to be a dark, stylized series.
Well, I think what's really cool about this is that
with every episode, you can completely break the rules. Like, there are no rules type of thing. Like, usually there's a villain or there's a bad guy or there's a something, and there's rules defining them of what they can and cannot do. But I feel like in something like this, there is no rules, because it's all about what's coming from the perspective of that child. And that can be everything from, you know, oh, it's going to crawl up from, or my mattress is going to turn into a monster and eat me. Or like, I hear something from my closet and then all of a sudden, like, it's a smoke monster that's coming out. Like
it's the smoke monster from Lost.
It's the smoke monster.
So I think rather than having a big OST for this, I'd like to see Foley effects. And dark, oh, yeah. Dark atmospheric music. Nothing light, nothing poppy. Maybe not even any vocals.
Right.
You know, your bedroom at night is quiet.
And so these are going to be like short episodes.
And it's the noises. It could be. Maybe this is a series of 5-minute episodes. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they're just the noises of like things that are happening outside your window at night can terrify the crap out of a little kid.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't hear that.
Or an adult. Or an adult,
but yeah. You can't hear that with light poppy anime music.
For sure.
So we're not going to have any of that. We're going to have Foley effects and maybe light, very soft, dark music, like catacomb music, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, when I was a little kid, I had this Mickey Mouse doll, and when I would go to bed, because he would be singing, you know, I would have him laid on my bed. When I went to bed, I would take him off, put him in a chair in the corner, and every night I would see the silhouette of that Mickey Mouse doll, and it freaked me out. And so I remember it so vividly, like waking up in the middle of the night from like a nightmare or something, and then thinking there's like monsters under your bed. And so I'd be under the sheet and just like, okay, I'm gonna run to my mom's room across the hall, or like basically her room was on the other side of the house. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get out of bed. 3, 2, I have to count it down because I'm gonna bolt.
Yeah.
As soon as I get off the bed, because I thought something was gonna grab me under the bed and pull me under. And then I'd bolt across the living room, and like you see like the lamp shade and the shadows and stuff.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Out. And then I would just go up to my mom's door and, like, you know, sneak in there and jump in bed with her.
I mean, it writes itself. Everybody has been a little kid.
Oh, yeah.
But it's about the execution of it that's going to really sell this anime, because, you know, they could really anime this up and ruin it.
Well, I don't know if you've been a little kid.
Oh, I have been.
I think
he was born a grumpy old man.
I could imagine, like, a little 5-year-old Mitsugi just like,
It doesn't even have to be.
Tell you, these Patriots.
It doesn't always have to be in the bedroom either. Like, one thing that freaks me out even right now is, like, swimming in really dark water.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you're even just in your...
That's a legitimate fear, though.
Even in your swimming pool?
Oh, no.
Like, you could have some...
What's wrong with you?
You could really have... Well, if you're a little kid, if you're 10,
okay.
And you're swimming in your swimming pool at 8:30 at night and it's dark, you know, you don't know what the hell's under you. It could be anything.
I feel like I got over that when I was a kid, because I had a friend who the bottom of their pool, they did like a lagoon bottom or something was what it was called. And it was like a really dark, like greenish blue that almost looked black. And I guess the reason why they did it, and this was interesting, was that their pool was always warm because that absorbed the heat of the sun. And so their pool was like heated, even though it wasn't actually. But it looked like you were swimming in black water.
But yeah, you could do all kinds of stuff with, like, not just the quote boogeyman, but like as you were saying about in swimming pools, like I remember being a little kid and being afraid that a shark was going to jump out of like the filter or something. And so you can do all kinds of weird things that little kids are scared of that don't actually exist, but like in the show, you animate their imagination.
What if this is almost like a Kuchu Badonkle, but little kids? Or Trapeze, that show where the psychologist, where it investigated, like, I mean, get rid of Mayumi-chan and, like, the teddy bear, but, like, that same kind of exploring different, like, fears and stuff every episode?
Maybe. I mean, Trapeze was a little bit too stylized for what I'm thinking about, but I guess I could go with that. Another angle would be to actually follow through with it and have the child literally show what the child is imagining is going to happen to them. So, like, you're imagining the shark coming out of the filter.
Right. Yeah.
So let's show the shark actually rip the little kid apart.
And then, well, I don't and know then, about rip then, the kid
and
apart.
And then you go back to the reality of the moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you realize that there's nothing there. But you're experiencing the horrors that are generated inside the person's imagination.
Right.
You know, the amount of terror you can generate is only limited to the amount of creativity that you have inside your head.
Right.
And that's a powerful thing. And almost everybody can identify with this.
Oh, for sure.
So that's my first idea.
Cool.
The boogeyman. And you could just call it Boogeyman. In fact, it's perfect because Boogeyman. Because in Japanese you can say Boogeyman or something like that. You know, there's already Boogie Pop Phantom.
Boogeyman.
Boogeyman.
Gotta catch him.
Okay, so
Jack, you wanna go next?
I have thrown down the gauntlet.
I will meet your horror anime with another horror anime.
All we're going to do is horror anime.
That's it, yeah.
Hilarious.
No, it's not, but I had a horror anime too, so I figure I'll stay on theme. My horror show is an anime that would be released online. It would be short. It would be like a 4-episode OVA. Okay. 4 short stories of 4 different people who have had interactions with Slender Man, starting from origins to modern day.
Okay.
And here's why I think this would be a fun one. Slender Man is really, really creepy, but I also think it's cool that, like, he came from online, so I think it would be interesting to see kind of, like, an anime that maybe it was it comes out to be 4 full-length episodes, but they release it in 5-minute chunks, and people can, like, determine, almost like a choose-your-own-adventure show, where they put it up as 5-minute webcasts, and then they say, like, do you go through the door or do you continue in the forest? Like, do you go to the cabin or do you continue in the forest? And, like, people okay. vote. And then the next week they put up another 5 minutes that shows what happened and then the next decision. And then it Slender Man yeah. is the central kind of villain to it.
Well, I've seen YouTube video series where they've done, it's like a choose your own adventure story. So uh-huh. they'll be like, if you want the characters to do this, click on this link, or if you want them to do this, click on this link, and they'll make videos for both, and they kind of like branch off like that.
Yeah.
So you could even do like some kind of like an ONA, like an online thing.
Either like that, or like I said, something that they could then compile into a final like 4-episode OVA. But I think that would be really cool. I'd want to see a dark, well animated. Like I'm thinking something in the same vein as like comedy, the anime. Like that kind of style and darkness and whatnot.
Are you going to play Ave Maria during it while he rips you apart?
Maybe.
Very okay. cool. All right.
Slender Man is cool. If you go on Google and type in Slender Man and
he's everywhere.
Yeah, there's lots of weird, creepy pictures of people who have superimposed Slender Man into like old photos.
Right.
Yeah. Like here's a really great one I found.
Did they superimpose him, or was
oh,
he there
maybe
the whole
not.
Time?
So here's one right here, Kazuo. And when you see Slender Man,
with the tentacles.
Yeah. So I'll post this one into the chat for the people that are watching live. But yeah, there's some creepy Slender Man photos online, and
I just think Slender Man, like I said, is kind of cool because he was invented online, and
yeah. There's a lot of, like, and we briefly discussed this on probably maybe the last episode or something, but there's a lot of, like, good horror stories in Japanese culture. Like, and I feel like they just don't use them enough, like, in anime and things like that. But,
Well, we know that none of these shows will make money.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
As we learned from the last podcast episode. But, you know, moving on.
All right, so I guess I will give mine here. My first one is The Divine Comedy, Dante's Inferno. So I think this would be a pretty cool movie, or maybe just like a short, you know, 3 or 4 episodes or something like that.
I'm with you on this so far.
Yeah. So for those that aren't familiar with The Divine Comedy, it's about a character named Dante who is in his mid-30s, and he is kind of going through a crisis at the time. It has a lot to do with – there's a lot of symbolism in this story, and it has a lot to do with – it's about hell, basically, kind of. It's about him going through the 9 circles of hell to get to paradise. So he runs into a poet named Virgil.
Who in the hell built that road?
With the road to hell?
You can go to paradise, but you got to go through hell to get there.
Yeah, yeah. So it's pretty crazy because like as he goes through the different circles, you see like all kinds of just all kinds of symbolism and like bizarre imagery and all that stuff. So I think it would be very cool to see. Like you could animate it very well. Obviously it would be largely for adults. This would not be a children's show or anything like that. I feel like we're going to have a lot of horror. So let's see. What else did I jot down here? I think it would be interesting to see the struggle that he goes through, the persistence he shows in making his way through all these horrific situations to reach paradise. I think it would be pretty motivating and kind of a touching story.
Are there going
to
be succubus?
I don't recall there being succubus in
I'm out.
The Divine Comedy. What's funny is that it's called The Divine Comedy, and people are always like, well, this isn't funny at all. But it's actually, like, comedy in these writings is I think, is defined as something like when a situation that starts off very dire and turns out okay in the end is considered a comedy.
Yeah, well, yeah, so, and you're absolutely right. That's the same reason why that one short anime where, like, the black swordsman kills, like, hundreds of French soldiers or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's called comedy. It's not funny at all.
No, no. So, yeah, I think it would be a pretty cool, dark, a lot of, like, twisted imagery in it, you know, as far as, like, seeing people being tortured in hell and stuff like that. I think it would be fun. As far as, like, the music is concerned, you know, clearly a lot of, like, dark, moody orchestra music playing throughout it would be kind of cool. It would have to be a short thing, though, because there's not a lot you can do with it. It's a pretty straightforward story. So you couldn't have this be, like, a long series or anything like that. But I think it would be just a fun exercise, a fun thing to do.
Cool.
I don't know how well it would sell, though.
Well, we all know that serious stuff. If it doesn't have tits and moe in it, it doesn't sell.
Yeah.
So you can just forget about that right now.
There's naked people being tortured.
Hey, there you go.
Divine Comedy.
So there you go.
There you go. You get some tits in there.
Maybe you can even find the opening from the moe pit of hell. And that way,
there you go.
And that way,
that's the tenth circle. That's the one.
Yeah.
That's...
So we'll take a small detour to go see the anime pit of hell. So you can watch where all the moe girls hit the ground, and then you have your moe and your naked people.
There you go.
It's perfect.
It all works out in the end.
Yeah. Okay, so I got a good one here. I'm really proud of this one. I think it's a good idea.
Okay.
Eurydice.
I am so excited that you put this, because the tale of Orpheus and Eurydice is one of my absolute all-time favorites.
You know, I was just about to say the same thing.
Eurydice is
no idea who that is.
Eurydice is a Greek tragedy.
Okay.
About a man, Orpheus, and his love, Eurydice, whom is bitten by a viper, and she dies. And he's so upset by this that he kneels down at her body or whatever and plays like the lute or the harp or something, and he plays it so beautifully that he summons up, like, spirit nymphs from, like, you know, from the Greek world or whatever.
Right.
And they talk to him and they say, well, if you love her so much, you should just go down to hell and get her and see her.
Oh, okay.
And he goes down to Hades and goes through the trial of getting to Persephone.
Right.
And
he plays his music for Cerberus and gets through the gates, and all the way down to the bottom he plays his music for Hades and Persephone and soothes their hearts and convinces them to allow him to take Eurydice out of hell so she can live again.
But they have one rule. They say you cannot look at her. Don't look at her until you're back on the earthen plane, until you're back out of hell.
Right.
And he gets all the way through, almost back, and then he glances to check if she's still there, and she disappears.
Yeah, he thinks that Hades is tricking
Spoilers.
Him. Well, yeah, I mean, he's afraid that Hades is tricking him, so right before he crosses through the portal... Yeah. He looks back to make sure she's there, and she vanishes. So the reasons why this is so great is because it's a story that a lot of people know, but not very many people know the story well. And it's an unbelievably romantic story that's filled with sorrow and drama. I think that you literally have so many different elements of drama that are just would make for gorgeous visuals and gorgeous moments. Like the scene where he's playing the music and the nymphs come to talk to him, and then he goes down into hell. So much like your idea, Kazuo, you're gonna have the dark atmosphere and the nightmarish characters as Orpheus travels down into Hades, and I think that the whole concept of the romance and the love, and it would just make for a very romantic, engaging, dramatic story that I think would really fit well in a serious story. You know, as well as serious as anime can possibly be, I think this is another one that I'd like to see sort of be a little shorter. I don't know that the story of Eurydice is long enough to really support anything more than maybe an OVA series or maybe a movie.
I was going to say, I'd almost like to see a really beautiful movie done rather than trying to split it. Because I feel like the tale is such like a... It's a tale. It was originally meant to be spoken and shared orally. And so I feel like having it broken into episodes would do a disservice to what you could do with the storytelling.
I want the characters to be the way that the original author intended them to be, mostly adults, but with all the nymphs and monsters and gods, etc. I think it's primed perfectly for anime. You could have adult characters and still have your little like sexy nymph girls. And you know they're going to be sexy. They're called nymphs. I mean, come on. And then you're going to have your monsters and your gods, and it's going to be perfect. And much along the lines of what Kazuo said, I think we're looking for very dark orchestrals here. I was thinking Liszt's Faust Symphony would be a nice sort of place to start for inspiration. The Faust Symphony is from the work Faust, you know, which is a very dark story in and of itself. And I think that it would make for a really great, great story.
Cool.
Something that's way outside of the box of what you normally get from anime.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, very interesting Greek or Roman stories of, like, mythology and just... There's a lot to feed off of from that, and which is probably why you see so many movies nowadays that reflect those kind of tales.
There's, like, hundreds of them.
Oh, yeah. And even movies that don't directly, like, aren't like, oh, this is a story about... You know, XYZ, a lot of the common day stories feed from a lot of those ideas. So,
okay.
Very interesting. Jackie?
All right. My next one, I went to Christian and Judaism stories, and I want to see a drama fantasy-esque anime. I'm thinking like 11 episodes, which I think would make it a Notamina show. And I think Notamina could do a really good job with this. I want to see an anime about Lilith.
I'm in.
For those of you who don't know, Lilith has appeared across a number of translations surrounding both Jewish, Christian, and Babylonian texts. And the story of Lilith is that she was the original wife of Adam. So God created Adam and Lilith at the same time, and God created her to be Adam's wife. But Adam and God wanted her to be subservient to Adam, and Lilith refused to be. And so God cast her out of Eden and then made Eve from one of Adam's ribs, who was then... a kind of, because she was made from him, would be subservient to him. Mm-hmm. Lilith wandered outside of Eden and ended up basically becoming the queen of hell, almost, in the sense of she banged a bunch of demons and gave birth to a bunch of succubi and incubi.
And you know she's hot.
And
I just remembered the first poem ever written was from Adam. When speaking about Eve, he said, "Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, this one will be called woman because from man she was taken."
Yeah.
That's like the first, I forgot what they call it, but... Anyways, continue, sorry. It was stuck in my head and I'm like, oh, I know.
But I'd love to see this, I would love to see this done in a mature style. Again, no bubblegum pop to this. I don't want to see Lilith, I mean... I think Lilith should be a sexy character.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
She should definitely be a sexy character. But I think she should be, I think she should be sexy, but with a real layer of fierceness and almost like terror to her. Mm. Like, I would definitely want to see almost like, I'm thinking like an anti-hero type of story where you're kind of like, I shouldn't cheer for this chick because she's kind of effed up in the head. But yeah, you go, girl. You go, demon girl. And...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but she's going to have demon wings and horns probably, and that's hot.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's your thing,
I'm
totally.
In.
But I almost could see it done in a highly stylized way, and I'm thinking somewhere maybe between like some of the Madoka Magica like witch sequences and Mononoke. So even the Count of Monte Cristo, that one. What was that? What was that anime? Actually, Gankutsu.
Gankutsu. Oh,
like... I think there could be a number of ways to really kind of play with this and present it in a way that isn't kind of the traditional way to portray heaven and hell type settings and really show something different. So, and then you'd have, you know, legions of angels. And I'm pretty sure she banged a...
Oh, yeah, she did.
No, not even finishing the sentence. You're like, oh, she did.
I think she banged an archangel or something. Like, in the lore, I think she was supposed to be subservient to Adam, and she was like, hey, archangel, you fine.
Nice.
But I think it could be really interesting.
Very cool. Well, keeping in line with the whole biblical themes, my second idea, which I only wrote two, I thought we were only doing two each, but apparently we did three. I'll think of a third one, though. But my second one is about Armageddon, which is, you know, basically the final war where God destroys everyone, pretty much. But it's more of a story told from the perspective of Lucifer or Satan, the devil. And but I kind of want to put a twist on it. I think this would be a cool, like, 26 episode fantasy action story.
I got you here.
Okay. And
I'm setting the mood for you.
All right. So basically, for those that are unfamiliar with, like, Christian mythology, originally God created, his first, what he calls his only begotten son, which is Michael the Archangel, a.k.a. Jesus Christ, creates him.
Wait a second. Archangel Michael is Jesus?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, yeah. You didn't know that?
I didn't know that. Is that for real?
Oh, yeah, for real.
What?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's various different views. Like, there's also, like, views about the Trinity and things like that. There's all kinds of different variations of it. But, yeah, in a lot of views are that Michael the Archangel is Jesus Christ. Much like Lucifer is Satan, the devil, who was, in Christian mythology, Lucifer was kind of like, you know, just below Jesus in heaven.
And I did know that.
He was called the Angel of Light. And so he was very high ranking. But he ended up, according to a lot of biblical stories, he ended up becoming jealous of God and jealous of the fact that, you know, the humans, you know, or everyone
well,
really.
It was because, at least from my understanding, is that God created the angels and the angels were closest to God. And then God created humans and basically said that humans were his favored creation and that the angels.
That is a theory. It doesn't really say that anywhere in the Bible, though, but that's I've heard that before.
Yeah.
But yeah, so. From what I've read in the Bible, it talks about how he wanted to be worshipped like God was, and so God cast him down from heaven with his followers who became the demons and cast them down to earth to live amongst the humans until the day of Armageddon came, where he would have a final war with Jesus leading the army and killing all of Satan and his demons and all of the humans that didn't follow him. Didn't follow God's teachings. So my idea is that instead of having it that, like, black and white, kind of like the devil is bad and God is good, maybe, like, turning it on its head a little bit. Like, you know, imagine if, and this is not really hard to imagine because this is pretty much exactly what the story actually is. God creates humans with free will, but if they don't do exactly what he says, he damns them to eternal torment.
Damn.
Which is exactly what he does.
That's dark.
What the Bible says. So,
Satan, depends on which Bible, though, right?
I mean, almost all of them. Some of them say that that there is an eternal torment, but instead it's just death, instant destruction.
I thought it was the Old Testament where God was like, I will kill you now.
No, that's, it's the Old Testament and also in the Book of Revelations, which is the New Testament.
Okay, I trust you because I don't really know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so. No. So, you know, Satan then, in my idea of what this story could be, he kind of like, you know, because God is saying to the humans, you know, you have free will, you can do whatever you want, but if you don't do what I tell you, I'll kill you all. And Satan is more of the mind that, hey, you should be able to do whatever you want and have real freedom and real free will. So then, you know, he gets into a battle with God, and then, you know, God kicks him out of heaven and all this stuff. And all the while Satan's on earth, waiting for his time to come where God will have the final war and destroy everyone. And so, you know, so the whole story can be about, like, you know, his initial encounter, his initial, you know, their differences of opinion, the being exiled, you know, him trying to build his army, and then the final war. I mean, like, could you imagine how epic that would be?
See,
just, like, animated?
You could combine this, though, with The Devil is a Part-Timer and the anime about the anime manga about Jesus and Buddha.
Oh, now you've done
living in an apartment, and then Jesus one day goes to the The place where the devil is part-timer works and the devil's part-timer, he messes up Jesus' order.
No, I want this to be a badass action story. But yeah, I think it would be like a really cool, I mean, obviously it would probably ruffle a lot of feathers of people who are very strict with, you know, Christian religion, but I think it would be super cool to like the action itself, celestial battles. Like, could you imagine Jesus riding in on his white horse with his army of angels behind him and you know, Lucifer with his army of fallen angels, and then God sitting on a throne, he's all glowy and crap.
And Lilith over on the side, she's just banging tons of dudes.
It would be so epic. So
that does sound pretty epic.
Yeah, I think this would be a pretty badass story to tell, for sure.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like your idea.
I know, I told you it was the best one.
No one
believed me.
I like mine the best, of course. Yeah,
that is incorrect, sir.
All right, so I have another one here.
Okay.
The Epic of Gilgamesh.
Oh,
yes.
Classic.
The Epic of Gilgamesh was translated from ancient Mesopotamia in the third dynasty of Ur in 2100 BC. Mm. It is often regarded as the first great work of human literature.
Yeah.
This baby is 2100 years older than the Bible. It is some old stuff. And amazingly written on clay tablets, like... You can find pictures of them because they're in a museum someplace.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable that they could carve into these tablets and not ever make any edits or changes. Like,
could you imagine? You get like
ridiculous.
Towards the very end of a tablet and you're like,
oh my
crap.
God, I know.
If they're clay, they're probably imprinting when it's wet. And
it's
they
like,
can
oh,
probably
shoulda.
Just smooth it
okay,
over.
Thanks for ruining.
Sorry.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
sorry.
But they still have to create the print, right? The imprinter.
What? No. The clay is wet.
They're molding
they have
it
a
as
little,
it's wet.
They have a little tool, and they're just...
carving it out.
Yeah.
That's not how it went at all. They were just perfect when they did it the first time.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
So, now, this is... I think this is my best idea. This is... The Epic of Gilgamesh is pretty long in and of itself. There's several sections to the story. So, this baby, I think, could be... It could be done in 26 or 52 episodes, depending on how long the battles were. But there are... There's a lot of... the translation is so old that there is a degree of interpretation that you would allow the creators of it to sort of do what they want with it. Now, that being said, you don't want to give the anime creators too much freedom because then they'll make Gilgamesh a 7-year-old girl.
Oh, yeah.
So we can't give them too much freedom, but let them stretch their imaginations a little bit. But the story of Gilgamesh is about a tyrannic... And I read this when I was in high school just for fun because it's pretty cool.
I have my third idea now.
Okay, good. Gilgamesh is a tyrannical ruler of the kingdom of Ur, and I think it's called Ur. And
I think so, yeah.
He is 2/3 god, 1/3 human, and he rules his people like a tyrant. He's very bad to them, in general. And one day, the gods send down Echidnu to, I guess, sort of teach Gilgamesh a lesson. And so they have like an epic, ridiculous, battle that. And everything's in epic proportions in this, so like it's, you know, it's gonna volcanoes are going to erupt and
story's called the epic,
right? Exactly. So, and in the end, neither of them can defeat each other, so they become good friends.
It's called the Epic of Gilgamesh, but you know, the stakes are pretty low.
Yeah, it's kind of just a dude hanging out.
Yeah,
you know, whatever.
So they become good friends, and
oh, that sounds very anime.
Well. Yeah. It's because they respect each other as warriors.
No, I know, but
that sounds very anime.
And they go off on a quest to. Through various ancient epic quests that they go through. Like, one of them is they kill Humbaba, the guardian of the cedar forest. And the quote is that...
I was going to say, they kill Baba, the witch?
Humbaba. He has, quote-unquote, his face is that of a lion. When he looks at someone, it is the look of death. Humbaba's roar is a flood. His mouth is death, and his breath is fire. He can hear 100 leagues away... any rustling in his forest.
But when they meet him, he's actually like a really timid and shy lion creature.
Moe girl.
Yeah.
A moe girl with like a thorn in her paw. And she's like, ah! And they take out her thorn and...
Gilgamesh also... check out how epic this is. He kills Taurus, the constellation. He straight kills the bull Taurus in the epic.
Nice.
Holy shit. He literally killed a constellation. Like, I don't know how you get more epic than that, but he does it. Anyway, the best thing about the Epic of Gilgamesh is what it stands for. The biggest theme in Gilgamesh is death and dealing with one's own mortality. There's a point in the story where Echidnu dies, and Gilgamesh realizes that he is one-third human as well, so he will eventually someday also die. So he goes out on this long quest, mission, whatever, to try to find eternal life. Mm. And the whole story is about trying to come to grips with one's own mortality.
And he finds it in a bathhouse.
He finds it in the soap land.
The soap land.
So the quote is, "Life, which you look for, you will never find. When the gods created man, they let death be his share, and life withheld in their own hands." So it's got some very cool themes in there of, coming to grips with one's mortality. I think the characters would obviously not be Moe stuff. I would want it to be true to the interpretation of the original epic. Gilgamesh needs to be represented as his original tyrannical self. Character that starts out that way and then increasingly becomes more complex as he comes across, more life experiences. As for the OST, I still don't really care for the goofy pop music. I still think that very dramatic instrumentals with maybe some choral vocals is more appropriate. No rock music needs to represent the times appropriately. And I think you could have a very awesome multi-arc story about Gilgamesh. You'd have the arc with Enkidu where he fights Enkidu and meets him. Then you'd have the arc where they go off and go on crazy epic adventures. And then you'd have the arc where he tries to come to grips with his own death.
That would be pretty sweet.
So that's the Epic of Gilgamesh. And I recommend reading it. It's about 250 pages.
So, Chiaki.
Yes.
Your last one is a very well fleshed out one. Do you want me to just tell you my random crappy one?
Yeah,
I just thought of in my head.
I don't think it's crappy. Go for it.
You don't even know what it is.
Yeah, but I trust you.
I just thought of this right now.
I trust you.
All right. So this one is, it is a comedy time travel show. Okay.
Okay.
And it is about a guy who is a con artist. Okay. He's like a con artist, thief, just kind of a dirtbag. Right. And he breaks into a science lab. All right, and stumbles upon there. He breaks in. He's sneaking around looking for stuff to steal, and the cops come in and he freaks out. And so he hides. He sees this metal thing in the corner. He jumps in and hides in there. Turns out it's a time machine. He goes back in time to, zero or whatever the year he goes back in time to 30 CE, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, He's like, oh crap, I'm back in time. What am I going to do? And he's trying to find a way to get back. And in the process, he's meeting all these people. And since he's from the future, obviously he's more aware of technology and things that may not exist at the time. Turns out through a series of events, people end up thinking that he is the Messiah. And
it forms a harem.
And so it turns out that he ends up living the story of Jesus on earth.
Oh my God.
And they end up writing about him and he becomes this character that
it's basically what was that Nobunaga anime?
With
the
kid.
Oh, Nobunaga
Concerto.
So it's basically Jesus
Concerto. Yes, yes. That's exactly what it is.
Jimmy Rob in the chat, 13 Moe apostles.
Oh, that would be amazing. So yeah, it's just this goofy comedy of him just stumbling into these random situations where he has to get himself out of, and it turns out that he's doing all these things that are common to us, but or to him as a scam artist, but people think they're miracles and stuff like that. And so he ends up living this whole life, but in the end, he kind of comes around, because he realizes how he's affecting people, and it changes him as a person. And he becomes, a good person. And then they write about him in the books and stuff like that.
And then he's crucified? Is that
no,
twist ending?
No, I think he fakes his death and then goes back to his normal time.
All right, Chiaki.
Boom!
Round us out here.
All right.
Right, Cosmo? Aw, yeah.
Aw, yeah.
So my last one probably would have the most commercial appeal. I want to see an anime about Setna and the Book of Thoth. And it would be an adventure, action, fantasy kind of shonen type show, 24 plus episodes. Setna and the Book of Thoth comes from Egyptian mythology and history. And I'm trying to think about it. And I really can't think of that many anime that have been set in Egypt, ancient Egypt.
Except JoJo?
Yeah.
It's not ancient Egypt, but.
But I think it would be cool to have an anime set there. So about this story, the Book of Thoth is one of the Egyptian gods, and Thoth wrote a book, and it's supposed to be a collection of magics that would enable the reader to know the language of animals, to cast great spells, enchant the sky and the earth itself. Like, it's like a super magical book. And Setna was one of the sons of Ramses II, who was supposedly an accomplished statesman, magician, scholar, and adventurer. And one day, as he is studying, he finds, like, this ancient, decrepit, and decaying scroll from, like, a couple pharaohs ago or whatever, and it writes that the Book of Thoth was real and buried with, and I'm not going to say it right, but Nefrikpath at the Memphis Necropolis, and this book was buried and it's real. And so Setna, Nefrikpta, maybe?
That's what it looks like.
Yeah. And so Setna goes to his brother, Anheru, and asks him for help. And Anheru is like this great warrior and is like, I'll be your sword and your shield on this quest. And they go off and they go questing together to get the Book of Thoth. And so I feel like you have the title already, the Book of Thoth. Mm-hmm. And it could be like this. You could make them going to get it for any reason. It could be because Setna just wants the power. It could be because there's someone who's trying to overthrow his father, Ramses II, and he's going to get the Book of Thoth to fight them off. It could be like even a battle with the Egyptian gods where like Ra is coming down and doing the things where he's hurting people. And, you know, mix up a couple mythologies here to get yourself an antagonist. But I think it could be really cool. I'm thinking like a Magi Attack on Titan type of look and feel to the show. And obviously, because of the type of show it would be, it wouldn't be like amazing animation or anything like that. But I think it could have a lot of fun episodes. And if nothing else, it, like I said, it would be in a setting that we haven't really seen that much in anime. Like, I know people in the chat are like Yu-Gi-Oh sort of, JoJo sort of, etc., etc., but it's not, I mean I can think of a couple anime that have Egyptian roots, but not a lot that are like Egyptian and has like the Egyptian gods, like Ra and Horus and Thoth and all of that. So I think
cool.
Very cool.
I like all of our suggestions, and I thought it was funny that most of them were like dark stories.
Yeah, I had to throw in that comedy at the end there because I felt a little bad that all of ours were like dark and serious.
Well, apparently you won with Jesus No Concerto.
Let's poll the chat and see.
our poll function in the chat it no longer works.
Oh. Well,
we could have an informal poll.
Okay. And we'll do that, I guess, during the break.
Okay. All right, well, I enjoyed that topic. I honestly think that out of those 9 suggestions, probably half of them are all-star anime of the year candidates.
Especially that Jesus one.
especially Jesus No Concerto.
My Little Messiah can't possibly be this cute.
I can't believe that none of us came up with the idea of a club that's about to disband and needs 2 more members to keep going.
What?
That's a good one.
Well, maybe that gets wrapped into Jesus No Concerto. They have...
Yeah, he needs 2 more apostles.
He needs
apostles.
2 more apostles.
The apostles are going to be disbanded. Oh, my God.
Awesome.
All right, guys. So we're going to take a news break. And when we come back, it's the 3rd installment of our fall 2015 anime impressions. What are we going to pass? What are we going to fail? What's going to be terrible? What's going to be great? We're going to find out in a few minutes, so stay tuned.
And this is your anime news break. First off, for those of you who are Gundam fans, the next time you plan high tea in the afternoon, you have something really fancy that you can be drinking out of. Bandai is issuing its own traditional glassware. Pre-orders for Zabi Family Teacups have been opened. The cups and saucers come in red, green, and blue, and they're actually really, really nice looking. If this is something you want gracing your table, be ready to shell out a little bit of dough, as each bone china cup and saucer are sold individually for 7,776 yen, which is just over 60 US dollars. Premium Bandai will be shipping orders in February.
And speaking of Gundam, a Gundam made an appearance at Red Bull's annual Flugtag event. For those of you who don't know, the Flugtag event, and I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, is an event where amateur flight enthusiasts are challenged to create their own human-powered machine under specific rules and fly it off a pier to see how far it will go. Some take this very seriously and make a good attempt to make a flying machine. Others use this as an excuse to create a comedic stage piece to just throw into some water. The competition is held at multiple locations around the world, with locations in Norway, Oregon, Sweden, Russia, and finally Kobe, Japan. The first ever Japanese iteration of the event took place on Halloween and had over 20,000 spectators. Of course, this is Japan, so it should be no surprise that a Gundam took to the pier to immediately drop straight into the ocean. But you can find videos of this really funny scene online, and it's worth checking out. In other news, the hours of an animator, anime industry professional, or mangaka are long and tiresome. Unsurprisingly, many choose to come home at the end of the day and cuddle up with a fuzzy feline. Publisher Ichijincha has recently released a photo collection specifically focused on the cats of mangaka. The book is titled Mangaka no Neko, or Comic Artists and Cats. It features favorite pets of many famous mangaka. Each cat is pictured with a detailed profile, a drawing by their animator, photographs, and a question and answer section. Even if you don't speak Japanese, I can imagine that this is a book that you would want on your coffee table. And finally, two bits of live-action news. The official website for the live-action film of Terraformers has begun streaming a teaser video, and it introduces some of the live-action cast. If Terraformers isn't quite your thing, Yona of the Dawn stage play has added cast from the Water Tribe arc. You can find photos of the cast online. This was Shiaki, and this was your Anime News Break. Don't go anywhere, because we'll be back to the show soon.
Hey, Chiaki.
Hey, Mitsugi.
I heard of this podcast called Anime Addicts Anonymous.
Yeah.
They have this really handsome guy named Kazuo on there. Have you heard of it?
Well, yeah.
I think I'd like to throw my money at him. I mean, support that podcast.
Mitsugi,
what do you think?
Are you feeling all right? You're supposed to be the producer.
As I was saying, do you know how I can support the AAA podcast?
Oh, well, as a completely unbiased podcast listener, you can pop over to their Patreon page at patreon.com/AAA podcast. This is a great way to support the Anime Addicts Anonymous, and you can get some cool content like AAA ringtones, weekly show notes, unedited episodes, and more.
Better yet, I see here that you can get exclusive access to the podcast's bi-weekly hentai episodes.
Pervert.
And broadcast after parties.
Which are so much fun. So after you go to patreon.com/AAA podcast and support the show, you can feel free to stuff all those dollar bills straight into Kazuo's boxer shorts.
Where I put my money is none of your business.
Story time with Chiaki.
I was on a train in Korea once with one of my friends, and I get an itch in my nose, and I kind of, you know, rub my nose or whatever, and then I sneeze, and blood just goes everywhere, and we're in between stops, and I'm holding my hands over my nose, and there's just blood dripping from my hands.
What the hell?
It's like one of the worst nosebleeds I've ever had.
Shouldn't pick your nose so hard.
And then it's like when we get to the stop, and we run out to the bathroom, and I like run in the bathroom, and there's blood all over me, and like all of the girls in the bathroom like flee, and I open up my hand, and it's like a pool of blood in the sink. And
that story wasn't funny at all.
It was awful.
Nobody will ever want to ride next to Chiaki on the train again.
I always have a good story somewhere in me.
Back to the show.
Welcome back to the 299th episode of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. We're now into the impression portion of our show, and we're going to be talking about some anime from the fall 2015 season.
Let's see here. I've got Comet Lucifer, which is my last one.
Lucifer.
It has nothing to do with Lucifer.
Okay, oh, really?
It does have something to do with comets.
I'm kind of disappointed then.
All right, so plot summary. Let's just grab one off of Wikipedia. So Comet Lucifer on Wikipedia. This is funny because we just had a series where this term was kind of used. If you recall, the Giftia.
Yeah, the Giftia from Plastic Memories.
Yes. So this isn't the Giftia. It's Giftium.
What? Tell me it's not the same thing.
So the name of the planet is Gift. Okay, so Gift is a world where glittering blue crystals known as Giftium are buried deep beneath the earth. A young boy named Sogo Amagi lives in the prosperous mining town of Garden Indigo. Sogo, whose hobby is collecting rare crystals, one day becomes involved in a dispute between classmates Keon, Roman, and Otto. He wanders deep into the ruins of a mine and discovers an underground lake. There, Sogo meets a mysterious blue-haired girl with red eyes named Felia, and their fateful meeting is the start of a new adventure with their newly formed bond.
A new adventure with multiple STDs.
What?
I don't know.
No, that's not right at all. So the studio is 8-bit, and 8-bit has worked on a few things. Nothing that really jumps out. Infinite Stratos 2, Absolute Duo, which was not very good, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, not very good.
I believe the quote was, Absolute Duo is an absolute zero.
Yeah.
And that was my quote.
I think so. That's, yeah.
Studio 8-bit, director is Atsushi Nakayama. Although there's also Yusuhito Kikuchi is also listed as director, so whatever. Maybe they work together. As far as what they've worked on before, Absolute Duo is on there. Mahou Shoujo Lyrical Nanoha, the first movie, he was the director on
which
that.
Which people liked a lot.
Yeah, so that's pretty good.
Until they ruined Nanoha completely.
Other than that, the other guy, let's see, what has he directed? El Hazard, the Alternative World. Done like animation director on stuff like on Golden Boy. He was animation and episode director on episode 2 and did storyboard. So he did a bunch of stuff there on that episode specifically. What was episode 2 of Golden Boy?
Episode 2 of Golden Boy is the episode where he works for the political campaigner.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah, yeah. So, all right, these guys have worked on a few things. The first episode of this show, you start off, you meet this kid. His name is Sogo. Is it Sogo? That's right. He's a young boy living in this kind of very... It almost looks like... The city has a very European feel, kind of like Venice mixed with like some kind of like maybe Paris or something like that. It's a very pretty anime. Like a lot of the scenery and everything's very pretty. So this kid kind of exists there, and he likes to look for like different kind of gems and things like that. So first episode, you meet him. He finds a crystal in this ruined mine that he's always like excavating at, and takes that. He gets caught up in this. With a quarrel between this girl and this guy and the dude's friend. So the dude is like chasing down this girl because apparently they're supposed to get married or something like that. And she's like, no, I don't want to marry you. And so she's running away from him.
Why does this box art remind me a lot of
Eureka 7? Kind of.
Kind of that. And then that other anime.
No Game, No Life?
No, that other anime we just covered where the guy was, where he gets a nosebleed and the world ends. That's how much impact that show made on me.
That was your anime.
I already can't remember the name of that show.
I know what you're talking about. Where, yeah, he can only see so many...
Punchline?
Was it Punchline?
I thought it was.
I think so, yeah.
I don't know.
First episode, he finds this gem or whatever, and then gets in the mix with this girl who's running away from this guy who's, like, chasing her down. And the episodes kind of bled together. Like, I barely remember how they went, but...
Because that's a way to get a girl. Chase her down.
Yeah, for real. And so they end up getting, like, falling into this this cave. And so they're in this cave. The main character, boy, and the girl, and then the other guy who's chasing her with his friend, they were, like, driving this vehicle. And so they kind of get separated, and they're in this cave. Elsewhere, there is, like, a military... group of people who you're not quite sure what they're doing. They don't really explain it. I get they're looking for something or someone, and it brings them to the cave where this kid is lost with the girl and the other two people. And he also has this other girl who he finds, who's this little like purple haired girl with the red eyes. like bluish purple hair, red eyes, and she's very young and like doesn't really speak and is very, you know, kind of like cutesy or whatever. I guess you probably classify her as moe.
Everything in this anime looks cutesy.
Yeah, and so she's there too. He kind of finds her at the same time he finds this random gem. Long story short, it turns out the gem like turns into this like worm creature, which in turn turns into this giant mech. So the military guys are busting up in there. They're looking for something, and they find the mech, or they find the kids, and then the mech comes and like saves the kids. It's weird.
Jesus in heaven, I'm so confused.
It's not even that confusing. It's just, honestly, it's really boring. Like, it's an okay show, I guess.
It sounds like an awful lot is happening.
Yeah, not really. It's literally the kids get lost in this cave, the military attacks, the mech saves them, and then they kind of just go about their business. First, second, and third episode, that's literally all that happens. There's like some chase scenes, and that's it. I mean, really, that's it. It's like so uneventful. The first two episodes, nothing really happens. I feel bad. But
Chat doesn't like it.
No. I heard some people talking about like it's okay, you know, it's not that bad, but not that good either. It's kind of garbage. Like
it's kind of garbage.
Kind of garbage. Like I'm not highly offended by it by any means, but it's just it doesn't grab you at all. Like it's not interesting.
It doesn't touch you in a private place?
No. No, thank God. I think if you are into, I don't know, if you're like super into like little cute girls and the mech battles are okay, like nothing stands out. It's the most like okay show I've watched in a while. It's just like, it exists. So
I think it's kind of what this fall 2015 season is.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
It was there.
There's some good stuff this season. Like, you know,
Yeah, but usually the fall season's so strong.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we have Lupin, which I passed. We have One Punch Man, which I passed. But yeah, this show, I got to be straight up with you guys. This is just not going to pass.
Not any good.
Nah, not worth it. Don't waste your time.
But they live happily ever after.
Of course, Elizabeth.
What a pile of shit.
I wouldn't say it's a pile of shit. I would say it's just, eh.
We go big or we go home when it comes to these fail drops, Kazuo. You should know that.
Look, man, we're all dying, as you know.
What does that have to do with anything?
Our time on this in this mortal coil is finite. Don't waste your time on a mediocre show.
I gotcha. Now I understand.
Yeah.
All right, so I am gonna do an impression on a show called Utawariru Mono. Itsuwari no Kamen.
Lockshine!
No, actually, Lockshine, I think he's in this anime, but not in the portion that I saw. So, what happens in this anime, Utawariru Mono was a fantasy anime that came out like a decade ago. I could not literally believe there was another season to this coming out of nowhere, because, well, frankly, it had been a decade. Now, the first anime of Utawariru Mono was fairly good. Decent characters, some pretty substantially good action scenes. It's one of those shows where they actually animate and choreograph some of the fighting, and I recall it being good for that reason. This Utawariru Mono Itsuwari no Kamen is a little different. Now, the characters look the same. A lot of the girl characters are presented as, I guess they're dog girls, I guess. They kind of have they have, like, fluffy ears, and, I mean, they got really fluffy ears. Really fluffy. And I think I can get a picture here. I'm sure if I click on this picture, you'll see her ears.
Are they as fluffy as Neil the cat, the AA cat mascot's ears? Because Neil's ears are pretty fluffy.
No, I don't know about that. But here you go, Kazuo. Here's a picture of Adudu from the first one. You see how they have, like, these weird fluffy...
He's got floppy ears, though. I don't know
they're
how I feel
floppy,
about
fluffy.
This.
They're floppy, fluffy. I think they're dog-cat girls. I don't know. They're neither cat nor dog girl, but they have animal features. And they're all cute, of course. Now, in this anime, much like the first anime that came out, a girl named Kuon discovers a man named Haku, who is, like, randomly lying in the middle of nowhere. And he wakes up and he gets attacked by a monster. And she rescues him from the monster and takes him back to the village. Now, the next, which is basically the exact same thing that happens in the first anime. Identical. And just like the first anime, He doesn't have a memory of his past life or whatever. And
I hate when that happens.
It's very cliche, but he has amnesia. So
he's got amnesia.
She names him Haku, and he spends about an episode kind of learning about the village and the world. You know, they give him dinner, and they have like a food that is supposed to be a food unique to this world, but it basically looks like a burrito. You like roll it all. It's like, here's all your stuff. You put it all in the thing and you roll it up and you eat it.
So it's Chipotle.
It's like Chipotle, yeah. So they have Chipotle, and then they go around and they're doing, you know, chores around town and helping with the farming or whatever. And they discover he kind of sucks at everything until they realize that he can fix their water wheel. And
with his mind.
With his, yes.
What, really?
No. He just fixes it with his hands, believe it or not. And he doesn't have cat ears or whatever. He's a normal-looking dude. Hmm. And he fixes the water wheel, and they discover that he's good with mechanical things and that he's really good at math. And they'll be like, they're divvying out like pay or salaries for the week or whatever. And they're at like the accountant, and they have to make some kind of mathematical adjustment for Kuon. And Haku is able to calculate the adjustment in his head in like 1 second. He's like Rain Man.
Definitely, definitely, definitely 38.
Definitely, definitely 30. Kmart. Kmart.
time for Wapner.
So, yeah, he's Rain Man basically. And then they're gonna go to the capital, where they think that somebody might know Haku or where he can find a place to live or work or whatever. So they're going to the capital, and on the way to the capital, they get attacked by bandits.
When suddenly, bandits.
And yeah, and the bandits steal all their cargo that they were taking to the capital. It was like a gift for the king or whatever, and they took it. And there's really no action. There's not really any action to speak of. They don't really fight the bandits. The bandits just kind of, you know, jump out with their knives and arrows and say, we're going to take all your shit. And so that's what they do. And then they end up getting into a little bit of a fight at the end of the third episode, I believe, but not like a whole lot happens. I'm noticing here on this website that they have now listed, they didn't have this listed before, otherwise I would have said it when I was picking the show before, but Hakuoro from the original Utawari, Rokshine, and Aruru is listed as staff, or they're now listed as characters in the show.
They're staff.
I don't see...
The anime characters are working on the show.
I don't see Erudu, though. Erudu. No, she's not here. Just Erudu. That's weird. I think they're kind of listing them as the show progresses, but apparently Hakuoro, who is the main character from the first show, is in this anime someplace, which is probably good news.
In the background.
That's good news, because that means that they're existing in the same universe, and frankly, it gives me a little more hope, because these first three episodes were, how do I say it, boring.
Real
boring. Like, it's neither good nor bad. They're just taking their damn good time setting it up. And I know it's a fantasy series, and as Chiaki will say, fantasy takes its time, right?
Yeah.
So they're taking their time with the world and everything, but not a lot happened. So I'm comforted a little bit to see that the other characters from the old show are in this, because the old show was pretty good. It was pretty good. It had at least had good action in it. What else do I say? The first Utawari Rumono had a really psycho, crazy, cracked out ending. Like, one of the endings that we probably should have mentioned in animes that have a what the F ending. I mean, it becomes a completely different genre on the last episode. Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah. Then just ends.
Cool.
Total confusion. So I'm hoping, this would be my hope, is that this guy, this new guy, Haku, is in the same situation that Hakuoro was in when he got to the world. And I'm hoping that they're going to explain what the hell this anime is actually about, because I want to know.
What? Why do you expect them to explain that?
Well, they did make a second season of it, so that is me hoping. Now, that being said, this is an anime that is meant for people who like fantasy shows. It has nothing else to offer you. I don't think it's going to be... It's going to have a little bit of light comedy in it, but that's it. It's not going to be romance. It's not going to be dark. It's going to be a light fantasy anime. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's not a Jesus No Concerto.
Except at the end of the last season, it became a sci-fi show. So maybe it's sci-fi. I don't know. Well, what is Anime News Network? What does my anime list say? It says action, drama, fantasy. Well, okay. So honestly, this is like the number 8 show we're going to pass this time. I honestly wasn't sure I was going to pass it. In fact, I think I left it up to Kazuo because you had an anime last time you were kind of on the fence about.
Oh. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sakurako-san.
Sakurako-san. So if you had passed that, I was going to fail Utowari Demono.
Oh, well, I didn't know.
Well, I was leaving it up to you.
I didn't know your show was this bad. Otherwise, I would have passed.
It's not bad. It's not bad. It's not bad. It's in this beginning portion, it's average and it's just slow.
Okay.
I mean, the fourth and fifth episode could be fantastic. I have no idea. And it hasn't done anything to piss me off up to this point.
Right.
It's just kind of, you know, it's there.
All right.
It's not as fast to get going as the first season was.
Gotcha.
Because in the first season, they were killing monsters and having war, like, after 3 episodes.
Sweet.
So, but I'm going to pass it. I don't know if I recommend it to people yet, but if you like fantasy shows, it might be worth watching the first 5 episodes of it just to see if it feels good to you. Otherwise, you know, if you don't like fantasy, then there's really no reason for you to jump in here and watch it. So.
Rokshai!
Wait. Ow! And boom goes the dynamite.
Okay, so we'll see. Unfortunately, it's long, so if it ends up sucking, I'm going to have to watch 25 episodes of crap.
You should have told me to pass Sakurako-san.
So, but we'll see. Maybe it'll be great.
I feel like Sakurako-san is probably better.
Yeah, we messed up, guys. And by we, I mean Mitsuki. I'm just kidding.
The chat's like, Sakurako-san is much better. Well, you know.
I mean, I didn't think the first Utowari Demono was that good.
It was decent.
Well, you know what?
Japan likes it. They've made a shitload of anime about it.
Fortunately, the chat can always save one show.
Yes, you can, chat.
So, yeah. There is the listener choice poll, so I guess it's going to be Sakurako-san. But no. It'll be the most ecchi moe crap show of the season because that's what we always end up
picking. It'll be Jesus No Concerto.
It's like the last time we, the last, the listen, our the aggregate of our listening audience has a habit of picking like the witchcraft works, Shokugeki no Soma, like fluff moe anime that they know we're going to hate watching, but that's why they pick it.
I think they do it on purpose just to mess with us.
Oh, absolutely. And they're allowed to do that, and I'm okay with it.
That is your right as a listener.
It's your right to torment us. It's just like when we were taking requests for anime, you were requesting Pico no Boku and stuff like that. This is torment us. It's just what you do. It's fine. Who's next?
Jockey. I am. This cat is so fluffy.
Yes, and Amagi Brilliant Park, as Captain Avatar
and
says.
It has no regard for personal space.
AKA Mascot Shop the Anime.
Well, actually, Neil knew that you weren't wearing a cat shirt today. And so he came and sat up on the table because he was like, someone's got to represent the cat.
You're right. You're not wearing a cat shirt. That's
no, I'm
odd.
Wearing a, I'm wearing a bat shirt.
Yeah.
A Batman shirt.
Batman.
Batman. De gozaru.
All right. My anime, Subete ga F ni naru, The Perfect Insider. So.
I like the picture.
I picked this one because it looked interesting and different, and I really didn't know that much going into it. Start episode 1. It's an Otamina show. Okay. All right. I'm into this because if you guys will remember, Notamina has given us some great shows like Your Lie in April. Please stop harassing the cat. I really don't want to get bitten randomly.
He bites you instead.
I would not. That would be my luck. So Notamina. Yes, it's a Notamina show. All right. Got some stuff going for it. Then the opening, and I watched the opening, and the opening kind of reminds me of like a Persona game, like a Persona 4 kind of opening-esque. And
should I play Persona music?
I mean, it's not Persona, but it feels like that same kind of stylish opening to it.
Okay, it feels like Persona 3 in that I wanted to shoot myself in the head while watching it. Is that what you mean?
You don't like Persona 3?
No, Persona 3, they shoot themselves in the head
to activate their.
Come on, that was a deep cut. You should have known that.
So
shame on me.
Then the first episode happens and I'm like, huh, no one has ridiculously colored hair. No one is moe. Everyone is in college or older and looks like it. And we are dealing with mature themes. This anime is awesome. I'm gonna pull a Kazuo and I'm not gonna bury the lead. This Sweet. Anime is awesome. It is based off of, so it's a mystery anime. It's based off of a novel that came out in 1996 of the same title, Subete ga F ni naru, which literally translates to Everything Becomes F, and the subtitle is The Perfect Insider. And was converted to a manga, a one-volume manga, had a visual novel, had a television drama, and now it's the anime. So this has had a lot of properties to it, but it is an awesome show. So the first episode, we meet kind of our two main characters, and they are Professor Sohei Saikawa and Moe Nishino Sono. The professor is kind of the little disgruntled, disenfranchised, older guy. He's not like an old man, but he's like definitely in his late 20s, I'd probably say, if I had to guess. I haven't looked up his actual age. And then Moe is one of his students, and she quite obviously has a crush on the professor. She finds out that, and she is, by the way, she is the daughter of a statesman, I want to say, or like, I don't know, someone who's important, and she's like rich. And she is the daughter, I think, of his mentor, of Saikawa's mentor, and that's how they kind of like know each other. Moe is interested in this reclusive genius and alleged murderer, Shiki Magata. And Magata was charged with, I believe it was murdering her parents or something like that. But she's a genius, and so she's been locked up in like this compound and hasn't left this room in like a decade or whatever. And she can only be accessed by video chat and stuff like that. And Moe talks to her, and after talking to Shiki, she finds out that Saikawa is going to have a meeting with Shiki Magata. And Moe ends up going with him. I'm going to kind of fast forward through episodes 2 and 3. Moe ends up going with him. They end up on the island. She tries to confront the professor about, you know, her feelings or whatnot. And they end up getting in for a kind of tour of the lab when they're not really supposed to be there, but they finagle it. And while they are there, the lab's computer AI system freaks out, and
they're sent back in time and confused for Jesus.
No, that doesn't happen.
Oh, my bad.
The door to Shiki's room opens, and an automated cart is wheeled out, and it's Shiki, and she's had her arm, she's been murdered, and she has her arms and her legs cut off, and she's wearing a wedding dress. And basically, it's a whodunit anime. And you see, like, you find in episode 3, like, there's a helicopter that comes, and they say, you know, radio out for help. There's been a murder, and the guy who's in the helicopter gets murdered. And so it's like that mystery, murder mystery setting of they're on an island, and they can't get out, and they can't radio out, and they got to lock down the compound, and they know the murderer is someone, but who was it, and why did they do it, and how did they do it, because no one's been in and out of her room. And it is just done really well. I mean, this anime does things like they will cut between Moe and her conversation with Shiki that she had before kind of the anime started, and it shows their discussion to have different, to emphasize different character progression and plot points at different points. It has, they cut away to some of Shiki's past, and we've started to find out that, like, when she was 13, she was involved with in an affair, and she had bipolar disorder, and, like, there's this really, really intensely, like, uncomfortable, but it's supposed to be seen where she is propositioning this older gentleman for sex, and she's sitting, like, and it's her first time, and she's in the bathroom talking to herself. Well, talking to her other personalities, and she's like, you know, oh, we can do this, and, you know, are you sure you want to do this? And yeah, I do. And it's like the guy is hearing her talking to himself, and then he's like, I can't do this. But then she comes out, and she like tries to proposition him. It's really, really good. I'm really excited. So
I'm really distracted.
Are you really excited?
Yes.
Are you passing it?
No, oh, yeah. Probably yeah, not. Definitely passing it.
So just do it! Make your dreams come true! Just do it!
Neil won't stop cleaning himself.
Well,
that's what he does. He licks himself all day.
This is definitely an anime that's going to be very dark and very mature, and it's going to handle those subjects with tact and
just like One Punch Man.
Yes.
Okay.
Just
so
just like Jesus No Concerto.
Here's the last anime we're going to do here tonight. We're doing Garo Guren no Tsuki.
Ooh.
Okay, so Garo Guren no Tsuki is the sequel of another show, and clearly they are sort of requiring you to watch the first one, because I had very little idea what the hell was happening. But the original Garo is about, it's a story of an anime that begins when the king's advisor launches a witch hunt which endangers the Makai knights and Makai priests who are supposed to protect people. A Makai priest who has been condemned to die at the stake gives birth to a child, Leon Lewis. The child is rescued by his father, a Makai knight, but never meets his mother. When he grows up, he inherits the gold armor as the descendant of the gold knights. Meanwhile, the king's advisor has taken over the country as the king becomes ill, and Prince Alfonso has been driven out with his mother. He comes seeking the legendary gold knight in hope of retaking his kingdom. That is literally, I mean, I see none of that in this sequel, because that was the original description. So, you want to know what they do in this anime? Go ahead, ask me.
What do they do?
Okay. So, like, a demon shows up.
Cool.
And whatever the hell the guy's name is, I honestly can't remember his name.
Garo?
His name's, I think this is him. I don't know. The guy, I'm just going to call him Gold Armor Man, because the characters in this show have literally no personality whatsoever at all.
Awesome.
So, Gold Armor Man.
I think, sorry. So you saw? Did you watch the first season?
I think his name's Daikou. Yeah, Daikou. Lightning Boy. I guess I'm something.
Okay. So, but did you say you watched the first season or no?
No.
Oh. Okay.
I think his name means thunder something. So we're just gonna call him Thunder Person.
Thunder.
So, a monster shows up. A horror monster is known as horrors that feast upon the human souls. Who feast upon human souls? They ruin. They come out at night and attack people. And there are heroes that protect people from the horrors, and Thunder Boy is one of those people. So what happens is a monster pops up.
Thunder Boy.
Thunder, Raikou, if you want to call him that.
I like Thunder Boy.
Thunder Boy. That's what, I don't know, basically what it is.
Yeah.
A monster shows up, and a viciously hot chick, who I also can't remember her name, Seimei, whom is a Makai priest, I believe, Makai priestess, you know, will attempt to destroy the horror, and sometimes she can, and sometimes she can't, and if it's a tough one, Thunder Boy comes in and puts on his golden, like, wolf face armor.
Okay.
His armor looks like golden armor.
Should be the name of the show. Thunder Boy and the Golden Wolf Face.
Well, his armor literally looks like a wolf. I mean, here it is right here.
Right. Isn't Garo wolf in Japanese or something like that?
No. Wolf is kami.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Or no, okami. It's okami.
You know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of oh, never mind.
No, big wolf is okami. Kami is just wolf. So he puts on his armor and he kills the horror. That was all they did for the first three episodes of the show.
Okay.
And then they alluded to some things that happened in the last season. It's pretty obvious that there's a lot of characters from this show that we're supposed to know from the prior season, but I didn't watch that. But I really doubt that I was going to get much out of it by knowing the prior characters.
From what I've heard, the first season is better than the second season so far.
Well, the second season sucks.
Yeah.
So
so it's not difficult.
It's a little bit difficult for me to, you know, say that I would like the first season that much more. I haven't seen it, but I certainly don't think that. I mean, the scoring on this website here certainly would indicate that the first season is quite a lot better than the second season. But I'm not really sure how I could possibly recommend this anime to anybody who hasn't watched the first season. It just seems like an episodic show where, like, almost like a Power Rangers show where a guy pops up and he's bad, and, you know, he's got to be beaten.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like a monster of the week kind of thing.
Yeah, basically. And then he puts on his armor like a Power Ranger character and then fights him. And that's pretty much it.
It's Morphin time.
Yeah, it's Morphin time. With my golden wolf armor, I'm the Gold Ranger. And I'm going to slash my way. I'm the Thunder Ranger, and I'm going to slash my way through this guy. So it was pretty disappointing. I mean, I had higher hopes for it based on the description of the first season. But I can't really say if they're going to do much more with it other than just kill horrors the whole time. But it's really an uninteresting show up until the end of the third episode. I mean, I watched it all in one go, and it was in the afternoon. So it wasn't like I was falling asleep, you know, the same way that I was falling asleep watching Magic Academy, whatever, random 17 millionth Magic Academy in the anime genre. But I still couldn't get engaged in it. So this one, Garo Guren no Tsuki, is going to fail because it's really boring. And I don't think any of you really want to watch it.
That is one big pile of shit.
The chat says, why would you watch the second season without watching season one? Would you like to answer that question, Cosmo? You know the answer.
I do?
Yeah, because 75% of the shows from this season were sequels.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's very true.
Come on now.
Yeah.
So all there were sequels.
It was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, it was either like sequels or the show was meant for like a little kid or it was clearly like a moe like bubblegum show that I was going to fail anyway.
Yeah.
And then there's Subete ga Fnina.
And then there's Subete ga Fnina.
So where do we stand to date with what has passed and what's left?
So I got this. We passed the following shows. We passed Young Blackjack. We passed Subete Fuga Fninaru's Perfect Insider.
Okay.
We passed Noragami Adagoto, which I'm just going to say right now, I think it's the best show of the season. Although I haven't watched
any. That is incorrect, sir.
I haven't watched any of your shows, but Utawari Dumono, for some odd reason, I don't know why I passed it. One Punch Man.
Best show of the season.
There's no way.
100%. There's no way. Ask anyone. Pull the chats.
Based on how dumb the character looks by himself.
That's the point of the show.
Whatever, he's dumb as shit. And Lupin the Third.
So we've passed six so far.
We still have to pass. We still have to review to go through something, something asterisk.
What?
Something, some asterisk show that Chiaki was going to do.
Woo.
Oh, okay.
What the hell is that called? Chiaki, look up what that's called.
Something, 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 dark side.
And we still have Felix's shows. We have
Gakusen Toshi asterisk.
Gakusen Toshi asterisk.
Which I am just so looking forward to.
Which sounds like a school anime.
It is.
Wow, it has the word school in the title.
Wow.
I didn't realize that animes were about schools. So then we have K, Return of Kings, which I'm told is pretty sweet.
Okay.
And we have the Gundam show, Orphan Gundams or something, and I'm told that's awesome.
Awesome. Thank
you. And we have Kindaichi Shonen no Jikenbo whatever season 2, and I'm told that sucks. So I just passed two anime.
I want to hear right now in the chat, what so far do you feel is the best show of the season?
Okay.
Of the ones that we've passed or whatever.
Yeah.
So fire it off in the chat. Let's see it.
Okay.
It's One Punch Man.
Well, I will say that One Punch Man has an advantage over Noragami because
it's good.
Because Noragami requires you to watch you have to watch the first season of it.
I do feel like there's actually like an online movement behind One Punch Man about like,
well, we can
like you see it all over the place.
Let's settle this right now. I'm going to go on my anime list. I'm going to punch in One Punch Man.
You're going to punch in.
I'm going to punch it in. Oh wow, it has an 8.8.
That's what I'm saying.
That's pretty high.
I know. Watch it. I'm telling you. It's actually a show about you, now that I think about it.
Oh, really? And Noragami Adagoto has...
One Punch Man is a landslide in the chat.
It is blowing up in the chat, One Punch Man.
All right, 8.8 and 8.5. So they're both really high.
Yeah.
Okay, so we had a trivia question, which we introduced earlier in the show. The question was, which star Dragon Ball belonged to Goku's grandpa, Grandpa Gohan? And you know what the answer to that is, Kazuo.
Is it... I'm trying to think of it in Japanese. Ich ni san shi?
Yon.
Yon?
They would say yon probably.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yon. Mm. The four star.
Yeah, it was the four star ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they use shi for some things, but it has like the same word as death.
Right.
So they don't use it for a lot of stuff. They would probably say when they're counting, they usually say yon.
So there you go, four star.
Four star ball. That's right. All right. Well, you know what? I think this was a really good episode.
Yeah.
I think
Thank
so,
Thank you, Shizuo, for being our producer this episode and defining our topic.
Shizuo, the honorary producer and one of our many guardian angels, I think, on Patreon. I don't know. How else do you describe them?
One of the 12
one of our
apostles
patrons.
Of Jesus No Concerto.
All right. So, yeah. So that's going to be it for our podcast today. For those of you that are watching live, Kazuo and I are going to do our three-episode summary of Dragon Ball Super, episodes 15 through 17. And we are going to be doing our 300th episode next week, and I don't know what we're going to be talking about yet, but I guess we'll figure it out somehow.
Hit us up with suggestions. Tweet at us.
I already know what I want to talk about, but neither of the hosts wanted me to talk about it, so that will be an ongoing discussion. But you can find us at our website, www.aaapodcast.com. We're on iTunes, so please, if you like us on iTunes, if you do subscribe to us, it does help us. And obviously, writing a five-star review makes us look badass, so please write us reviews on iTunes if you like us. And we're on Facebook, so you can tweet us at Facebook and on Twitter at AAApodcast. And we're live every Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Ustream.tv. So thank you, everybody, for watching. We got up to, we were scraping 60, I think. Now we're back to 52 viewers, so that's a good audience.
52,000, I believe.
52,000, oh, boy, that'd be something. I would quit my job tomorrow if that was the case. And we love you all, and we'll see you next week.
Take care, everyone.
Bye, guys.